Through the basic topics of kashrus before we get into the nitty-gritty details. So the last thing we did was speak about shrutzim and fish. What's it called? Big shaila today about fish. Just to shortly speak about it, so you know what to, there are those that say that some of the fish that have been known to be mutter for hundreds of years are all of a sudden not mutter anymore. Included in that is whitefish and carp, and one of the people who is in the forefront of the machmirim is Rabbi Karp. I saw it somewhere and said, believe it or not, he's from the Kibbutz Sefer. Most poskim argue on him. All of the kashrus organizations pretty much hold like others. Rabbi Belsky is one of the foremost matirim. The problem is like this. There are definitely organisms, worms, in the flesh of all these fish, and they've been there since the Gemara's time. Gemara knew about them. Gemara speaks about them. The Shulchan Aruch speaks about them. The halacha, however, is that worms that develop within the flesh itself don't come from the outside are mutter to eat. And whenever you eat these fish, you can be assured you're eating these little, they're not microscopic, they're little worms, and they don't hurt you, they're a protein, and if they're not osir, they're not osir. They're mutter, right? And they basically exist and come out all these normal fishes. They're only very certain types of fish that don't have these things. Most of the regular fish that we eat have these things. And there have been mutter. However,
why don't we see them?
What?
Why don't we see them?
Well, you see, if you look, know what to look for, you'd see them. After they're cooked, they're dead. So they're very hard to differentiate between a thing. But if you'd see them in raw fish and you know what to look for and you look carefully, you'd see them. The eggs are laid or whatever, and they develop inside the fish. That's how they. Now, some poskim say that things have changed, and these worms no longer are developed in the flesh, but they come from the outside, and they have rayas or whatever. Now, there are definitely scientists who disagree with that and say nothing has changed; it's all the same way. And even though everything comes from the outside, nothing is born together with the fish. But the idea is that there's no way of detecting that these things come from the outside. And that still applies today. And therefore, most of the poskim, Belsky holds very clearly like that. Nothing has changed since the time of the Gemara or the Shulchan Aruch. It's exactly the same things, not new kinds of worms, same worms that they were talking about. And those worms also, if you wanted to be purist, of course it came from outside. Didn't come together with the thing, but that, according to the Gemara, is called developing in the flesh, since there's no way of seeing that these worms were worms before they came inside. They developed, their life cycle developed within the flesh of the fish. And these others hold it not like that, this is a different kind of thing, or whatever. Many scientists say it's not true. Scientifically, it's not a different kind of thing, it's the same things that were always there. And halachically, many poskim hold differently. Most of the kashrus organizations, the OU, the Chafke, all have accepted the psak of the matirim, and they still permit whitefish and gefilte fish and all these fishes. And there are those that are machmen. But that's a contemporary kashrus thing that you may start hearing more about. But you should realize that it's something that's been discussed. There are those that are machmir who hold that it's osur, alarmists, And most people, most poskim hold that there's not a problem. Okay. Next thing is blood. Okay. Blood of animals and birds is usur to eat. How usur it is depends on which blood it is. The blood that comes out from an animal at the time of shechita, which the animal dies from, the loss of that blood is the worst kind of blood, and that's usur bekaris. Just like if you eat chametz on Pesach, or you eat on Yom Kippur, you get kares, this is also kares. Eat that blood. Regular blood is only a lav. Right? And blood that is in the meat and never has come out is not osur at all. But if you cut it and it comes out, then it's osur. And therefore, theoretically, you could eat a whole bird or whatever and not have to take out the blood because the blood is in the limbs or in the organs or whatever. But the mice, once you cut it or whatever, and it comes out, it's the blood's osur. So therefore, the halacha is that you have to salt meat before you can eat it to get out the blood. And we'll go through salting and soaking or whatever. But right now, that's the foundation of having to salt meat. There's another way of taking out the blood, and that is by broiling the meat. Okay. Now, the difference between them is the following. Salting of meats, which is soaking and salting. You soak the meat and you salt it and then you wash it off and that takes out all the blood. What's left after that is not blood. What's left after that is tzir, is the liquids that are in the meat. There's liquids, not just the blood content, there's liquids. So sometimes you have a red steak or whatever and it has a lot of juice. That if it's been salted and soaked properly or broiled properly, that's not blood. It's not blood that's osur for sure. That's called sear. That's okay. The soaking and salting process will only take out the blood. This is a chumrah of the Gaonim. If it was done within 3 days of the shechita. If 3 days had passed by from the time that, what's it called, that the animal was slaughtered, then we say that the salting and soaking won't take out the blood, and the only way to kasher that is by broiling. The regular meat. However, if it is soaked within the 3 days, then you can extend the 3 days another 3 days. In other words, if within 72 hours you soak the meat, and Shaila is what that means, how to soak it, right? Some say soaking, it means you have to mamish immerse it in water. Others say you can just hose it down. Okay? This is one of the problems with meat that came from South America and was not kashered right after the shechita, but was made to be kashered when it got to Eretz Yisrael. So supposedly, at least they washed it down every 72 hours, which may have been or may not have been. And then you can't kasher anymore with soaking and salting if it wasn't washed down every 72 hours. And what much was it washed down? And they get to every piece of meat. This is what happened in the meat that was not Mahadran meat in America. It was shipped from the Midwest to the East Coast. Took more than 3 days from the Shechita because, first of all, you couldn't send it out for quite a few hours until it was checked for the veterinarians or whatever or by the health codes. And so you lost about a 1 day anyway, and then 2 days, trucks broke down. So what they used to do is hose down the meat. But who was the truck drivers were goyim most of the time, right? Can't trust the goy to go hose down the meat, right? They didn't have, you know, mashgichim on the trucks. So a lot of that meat people didn't eat because it was you couldn't kasher it. There was only one problem with it. There was other problems too. But in any case, that was one of the problems. And therefore, the halacha is that if the meat is more than 3 days after the shechita, you can only kasher it by broiling it, not by soaking and salting. And because of that, you can't even cook it after you broil it. Because we're afraid people will think that it was salted and soaked and you didn't broil it. And you're cooking it now to begin with. It's just to cook meat. So therefore you're not allowed to cook it. That's clear. meat that wasn't soaked and salted within 3 days and had to be kashered by broiling is not allowed to be cooked after that. That's clear halacha. Okay. However, liver, the whole essence of the liver is blood. So it can't be soaked and salted. You can't get the blood out of the liver by soaking and salting it. So you have to roast it. You have to broil it. Now the shaila is like this. Since liver can never be kashered by soaking and salting, so even if it's more than 3 days after the shechita, right, and you still have to broil it, which you had to do even if it was within 72 hours of the shechita, so there's no problem of cooking it afterwards, because everybody knows that you didn't soak and salt it, you had to broil it, so you can cook it after you broiled it. That's one opinion. The other opinion is no, if we let you cook liver after it was broiled, if it was more than 3 days after the shechita, then you may think you could do the same thing to meat. And if you do the same thing to meat, you'll come to make a mistake and think that you can kasher it by soaking and salting. So it's all one big gezeira that any meat, including liver, that's more than 3 days after the shechita has to be broiled and can't be cooked after that. That's why, lechatchila, at least, if you have liver that was more than 3 days from the shechita, fresh liver, then if after you broil it, you can't cook it. Okay? But if you buy it within 3 days of the shechita, then after you broil it, you still have to broil it first. But you can cook it after you broil it. Okay, about the difference, one of the exceptions is where it's frozen. Let's say you had liver that you took within 3 days of the shechita and you froze it. Or meat, regular meat. You froze it. And then you thawed it out. So the most poskim hold, right, that the freezing process stops the drying out process. And the 3 days become, what's it called, they stop, right? And they don't start again until it's thawed out. So therefore, if something was frozen within 3 days of the shechita, and then you thawed it out, and you kashered it right away, so then what's it called, it's okay. Memela, you can salt it, soak it, cook it. So liver that was frozen, and the 3 day process stopped, and now it's 2 weeks later, it's frozen liver. Right? 2 weeks later you thaw it out, and you kasher it by broiling, because you can't kasher it any other way. You're allowed to cook it after that. Because basically it was frozen within the 3 days, and therefore you're allowed to cook it afterwards. Okay, but you have to know sure, what?
The same with chicken liver?
Same thing. All of it. Okay. That is, we'll get to kashering meat and kashering liver, but that's one of the things. Okay. Another thing that a person has to be careful with is that if you have frozen livers, so when they thaw out, they're in liquid inside. If they stay in that liquid for 24 hours, you can't kosher them anymore. They're treif. So you should be very careful that if you have frozen livers and thaw them out, you don't leave them 24 hours in the bags, soaking in the liquids that are around them, because that'll make them treif and non-kosherable. Another thing is, sometimes they, I don't know if they do it here, but in America for sure, they leave the livers inside the chickens or the turkeys when they sell them. And they have to be taken out, right? They leave them like in a little bag inside the turkey or inside the chicken. I don't know if they do it here. No. But in America they do it. You buy the turkey and it has a liver inside, separated from the body, but in a bag. And if you forget to take out, I have many shilas in America like that. The people forgot to take out the liver and broiled the turkey with the liver inside. Yeah, big shilas. Shilas on the liver, which is probably treif, and shilas on the bird itself.
And shilas on the melted plastic.
What?
On the melted plastic bag, shilas.
Now, that's blood of animals and birds. Blood of fish is basically mutter. You don't have to salt and soak fish or broil it. You can eat fish with the blood inside. However, you're not allowed to drink fish blood that's separated from the fish, if you had such a... Unless there are scales in the blood that make it obvious that it's not blood of an animal, but blood of a fish. Because otherwise it's marasai. So if you want to drink fish blood, you have to leave the scales inside the blood. Okay. Another thing is human blood. Human blood is really mutter to drink. It's not awesome. Okay. Not only that, there is even an opinion that human flesh is not treif, because people are not animals. So the Torah describes what the simonim of a non-kosher animal is. Doesn't chew its cud and doesn't have a split hoof. But a human being is not an animal. So therefore, it could be that there's no prohibition of eating human flesh. Okay.
What about
dam? Well, that has nothing to do with human beings. That's dam of an animal, not of a human being.
Right.
So I'm telling you, there's opinion that human flesh is aser be'ese, because the Torah says this is what you should eat, meaning anything else not includes human beings. Others say no, that only includes different kinds of animals. Human beings is really not aser to eat the flesh, except if the person is dead, it's aser because dead people are aser ba'adnoah. We learn from another pasuk. And living people, usually you don't like to eat people who are alive. But the truth is that to nibble on your fingernails or skin or whatever, that for sure is not awesome. It's not nice, but it's not awesome. Because skin, b'chlal, even by a non-kosher animal, the skin probably is not awesome, just pure skin. In any case.
What if you have a cut? Are you allowed to...
Well, one second. We'll get to it. Okay, so therefore... However, to take blood, put it into a cup and drink it is aser, because you confuse it with animal blood. Okay. Not only that, but any blood that has separated from the body, you're not allowed to ingest. But if the blood hasn't separated from your body, okay, for instance, it's inside your mouth. Your gums are bleeding and hasn't come out, then you're allowed to swallow that blood. That blood's not also to swallow. However, if your finger's bleeding, you're allowed to suck out the blood, you're not allowed to swallow it. Because then it's separated from your body into your mouth from your finger. But if it's in your mouth already, it never separates anywhere, you can just swallow it, that's okay. But if you have blood, if you suck a cut from the blood, you're allowed to do that, but you have to spit out the blood.
Even if you said it while the finger's in your mouth?
Even if the finger's in your mouth. Mm-hmm. The only time it's mutter is if it's blood from your gums. But blood from the finger, that's called separating from your body into your mouth, and then what's it called? You have to spit it out. But you're allowed to suck it up, but you have to spit it out. Okay. The only other blood is blood in eggs. That's a little bit more complicated, and that will, Mitzvah Hashem, go to next time.
Okay.